Englandy. This is the moment the crowd have waited for. Just look at him go.
Congratulations, Catherine, on your wonderful performance in winning the gold medal in the 400 metre event of the Commonwealth Games.
Ian Thorpe really going for it. 3:40.17. This is absolutely amazing.
Tracy Wickham, a great world record here in Edmonton, and there it is, a world record.
The Diamonds Commonwealth drought has broken.
The hockey revolution has a golden uprising.
Adam Ayres, congratulations, and a games record. Adam Ayres has got a hat-trick of gold medals at the Commonwealth Games.
This is something to savour, something to remember for the rest of your life.
Get set, Australia. Welcome to Gold Coast Gold. Here's your host, Dave Colbert.
Hello and welcome to Gold Coast Gold. I'm David Colbert. This week our Legend Series continues with Madame Butterfly Susie O'Neill. 11 times Commonwealth Games gold medalist across three games, including six gold in Kuala Lumpur in 1998. What a legend. And a fascinating chat with Susie is coming up later in the show. But before we speak with Susie O'Neill, and as we count down with just 21 Fridays to go to the Gold Coast Games, let's take a look at the headlines from another big week in Commonwealth Games news. It's been a big week in games-related news with plenty of action on and off the field of play. To start, the most important piece of the Gold Coast Games was unveiled this week with the release of the medals at a charity gala to mark 150 days to go. The medals were designed by Queensland-based Indigenous artist Delveen Cockatoo Collins and were produced by the Royal Australian Mint. Inspiration for the medals was drawn from the Gold Coast coastline, for which many generations have been gathering as a place for meetings and for sport, said Cockatoo Collins. They certainly are spectacular. One of the first team trials has taken place in boxing. Olympian Jason Whateley and World Championship medalist Kay Scott and Skye Nicholson are among 13 boxers set to represent Australia at next year's Games after win at the selection trials in Sydney. Former junior world champion Clay Waterman and Youth Olympic Games bronze medalist Caitlin Parker were also successful in nomination for the team. The two biggest names missing from the squad will be 2014 Glasgow gold medalist Shelley Watts and Glasgow silver medalist and World Championship bronze medalist Joe Goodall. Watts, who joined us in episode 3 of Gold Coast Gold, unfortunately wasn't able to make the weight for the trials, while Goodall was beaten in his super heavyweight semi-final by Victorian Tosi Vusietu, a former Melbourne Storm squad member who's poised to make his Commonwealth Games debut. In cycling, Australia had plenty of success at the opening track World Cup cycling meet of the season in Poland. World Championship silver medalist Cameron Meyer and Callum Scottson won gold in the Madison. Matthew Glatzer won his fourth career World Cup gold in the men's sprint. And Commonwealth Games champion Stephanie Morton snared silver in the sprint and returned to win bronze in the Kieran. Morton and Glatzer continue the World Cup season in Manchester this week. Meanwhile, three Commonwealth Games medalists will be inducted into the Cycling Australia Hall of Fame. Five-time gold medalist Brad McGee will join Melbourne 2006 gold medalist Katie McTeer and sprint pioneer and Commonwealth Games silver medalist Julie Speight in the Hall of Fame at a function next week. In triathlon, Gold Coast Games nominees Ashley Gentle and Jake Burswistle have claimed the honours in the Noosa Triathlon. Gentle matched Melbourne 2006 Games champion Emma Snowsill with a fifth Noosa Triathlon win, while Burswistle claimed his first men's title. In diving, the FINA Grand Prix is underway on the Gold Coast, with Australians Anna Rose Keating and Brittany O'Brien impressing earlier in the event. In shooting, the Games shooting range at Belmont in Brisbane had a workout, with 300 athletes competing in the Commonwealth and Oceania Shooting Championships. In hockey, the International Festival of Hockey is underway in Melbourne, with the Kookaburras notching wins over New Zealand and Pakistan, and the Hockey Roos scoring a series of wins over the USA whilst going down to world number ones, the Netherlands, so far in the series. In other news, in para powerlifting, the Gold Coast venue for the game saw the first big para powerlifting event, with Australia now close to finalising a squad of six for the Games. The team now moves to the World Championships in Mexico later this month. In athletics, newly crowned T54 5,000-metre world champion Madison Di Rosario claimed fifth place in the women's wheelchair division at the New York Marathon. Meanwhile, at the Noosa Triathlon Multi Sports Festival, Australia's middle distance stars were in action, with Melissa Duncan returning from injury to win the women's 5-kilometre bolt. Duncan broke her foot 4 months out from the Rio Olympics, which crueled any ambitions she had for competing at the Games, and she'll now focus on the longer 5,000 metres rather than her usually preferred 1,500 metres for Commonwealth Games selection. In the men's event in Noosa, World Championship representatives Jordan Williams and Stewie McSquain claimed the top two spots. In rugby sevens, Australia has rallied from 12 love down to beat USA 15-12 and claim the Silicon Valley 7 titles in San Jose. The victory follows Australia's win in Munich's Oktoberfest sevens 1 month ago and continues their build-up to round one of the World Series in Dubai in December. Meanwhile, Australia will blood young players in this week's Oceania sevens. 8 uncapped players will debut for the Australian men's team, whilst the women's team will introduce 2 new players for the Australian squad ahead of that Dubai World Series encounter. Off the field of play, Australia's high-performance sports community gathered at the RIS in Canberra to explore the evolution of technology, the importance of athlete well-being, and to hear from some of the country's most successful sports leaders. The 5th World Class to World Best Conference included presentations by Australia's winning America's Cup skipper for the Team New Zealand, Glenn Ashby, Matilda's coach Alan Stajic, Hawthorn's multiple premiership winning coach Alistair Clarkson, and Australia's Commonwealth Games team chef de mission Steve Montaghetti. In games organising news, a new high-speed internet connection is going to be made available by the Gold Coast Council and to ensure that the service is up to scratch for next year's Commonwealth Games. The council has decided to lay its own fibre optic cable rather than wait for the federal government funding to provide it. The network will run from near Griffith University, which is near the Commonwealth Games Village, south to Broadbeach, connecting with the Gold Coast Convention and Exhibition Centre, which will be the broadcast and main press centre for the Games. And finally, a community fun run will be held during the marathon at next year's Games. A 5-kilometre gold run will take place on the marathon course after the finish of the paramarathon and after the start of the able-bodied men's and women's marathon events. Around 6,600 people are expected to take part in the event, which is the same number of athletes and officials who will attend the Games. It's the first Games that this fun run has taken place, and entries are now open at the Commonwealth Games website. But be quick, because they're expected to sell out fast. And that's this week's Commonwealth Games news. Legend series on Gold Coast Gold continues, and this week, very special guest, Madden Butterfly herself, a legend of Australian sport, won more gold medals at a Commonwealth Games than any female in Australian sporting history. Susie O'Neill, thanks for your time.
Great to be here. I was wondering if I still hold that record.
No, you do. Okay. You do. Incredible. Six. 6 gold medals.
Oh, at the one Games?
At the one Games. Okay. You and Thorpe. Thorpe won 6 in 2002, okay. And you won 6 in... KL. I think it was 6. Yeah, 6 in KL.
What about total?
I don't know. What's your total? Your total's a lot.
I don't know as well.
We'll go through that. Okay, 10. You won 10.
And did...
2 Olympic gold medals, 1 world championship and 10 Commonwealth Games gold medals. 5 silver and 0 bronze. You didn't like coming third, obviously.
Well, I prefer gold. Silver's better, yeah.
What do you... When you think about Commonwealth Games, you know, when you've been to the Olympics and amazing victories in Atlanta and Sydney, but the Commonwealth Games, where does it sit for you when you reflect and look back?
Oh, well, the first ones I think of are always Auckland, which I think you may have been at.
I was.
In 1990, and I was only 15 or 16 years old, and, you know, my first big competition, and just such good memories from that competition before it became really, really serious, I suppose, for me. And I'm just staying in a village situation, the dining hall, the camaraderie within the Australian team, you know, the cheering on the side of the pool, the chicken dances, I don't know, all that sort of stuff. That's, when you say Commonwealth Games, I immediately think of Auckland, and it was almost my favourite Commonwealth Games, I think.
It's amazing when you think of that team, because always in a Commonwealth Games, when you're a youngster in the team, you first come in, and Kieran was the same. He was a youngster in that team as well. You've got the old legends who are still there, and then you've got the young stars. And at that Games, Lisa Curry was the old legend who had come back. And so you had that, and of course, Hayley Lewis was a star as well. And yeah. Did you,
you know, you won a gold medal in the 4x1 free there, silver in the 100-metre butterfly. Did you expect to be on the podium and in the relay team with, you know, the other legends of the team?
I didn't, because I had no idea. I remember my coach there, who was coaching me on the team, Ken Wood, said to me, you know, you can win, he actually said, you can win the 100 fly. And I couldn't believe it, because I remember being a nine-year-old watching the 82 Commonwealth Games, you know, collecting all the, cutting out all the newspaper clippings and seeing Tracy Wickham and Lisa Curry then, Rob Di Castella, and then all of a sudden I was racing Lisa Curry in the 100 fly. I was probably a little bit intimidated by her, to be perfectly honest, looking back. Got silver, and then the 4x1 freestyle relay to get a gold. Oh, yeah, I just remember I was so excited.
94, and you know, it was Kieran's games. He was outrageous. But you won three gold medals there, the 200 free, the 200 butterfly, and the 4x2. And I was at that games as well, in little Victoria, Canada, beautiful spot. And again, it just had the Commonwealth Games then. You know, Gold Coast is going to be incredible, but it seems smaller then. And that little, it was a little games. Is that your recollection of Victoria?
It was small. It was in a university from memory, and it wasn't that beautiful from memory, that the actual village. I had a really weird Commonwealth Games there. I thought I went terribly. You said I got three gold medals. It was actually a really big turning point in my career. I went there. I wasn't happy with how I performed. Then 4 weeks later or 3 weeks later was the World Championships, where I got two bronzes to two Chinese in both events, which subsequently they were probably on drugs, but it made me change coaches. So for that, I think of that Commonwealth Games as a real turning point in my career, when I left Mr. Wakefield and moved to Scott Volkers. But I didn't, to be honest, I didn't enjoy those. I didn't enjoy those games.
Did you, when you think back and look at your career, you're always so focused, and you didn't look like you were enjoying it at the time. Is that, you did when you broke the world record, obviously, and then in the Sydney Olympics you enjoyed, but you didn't look like you really. Why?
Because I got very nervous. I find it hard to enjoy things. I get enjoyment from doing well, which it's a habit I'm trying to break, because as you get older and you don't have benchmarks where you can see if you're doing well or not, you've got to start to enjoy the journey a bit more, don't you? But when I was competing, I was really hard taskmaster on myself, and very serious, and I don't know, just really wanted to do well. That's how I got my enjoyment.
It's strange, because now you know you were so not media adverse, but you didn't love the media, and now you work in it with, you know, Ash, Kip and Lutzy in the number one breakfast show in Brisbane, which is, and you're a gun at it too. It's hilarious. I find it hilarious, to be honest, that you're so good at it, but you don't, do you like it now?
I love it now, but I hate saying that out loud. I mean, even Ash, Kip and Lutzy has been, I want to say, a saviour for me. It's been so amazing, the journey. They basically dragged me into their show, and I love it. I love radio. I love the live aspect of it. It's a little bit like swimming, you know, competing, and I love the competition, and I love winning. But even this morning, I'm in a women in the radio conference, at a radio conference, and I'm like, why are they asking me to come up and tell people? And then I think, I suppose I am in the media, but I hated the media as an early swimmer. Yeah, I thought they were the enemy. And
even though in swimming, you know, we're lucky in the Commonwealth Games sports that most of the media are our friends, yeah, and they're supportive and they want you to do well. And if you look at the swimming media, you know, someone like Nicole Jeffrey, for instance, you know, they're willing you on to be successful.
Oh, they are. And I remember Nicole pulled me aside early on in my career and said, just talk to the media, talk to us like you're talking to your family. And I said, but I am. At the time, you know, I was pretty quiet, and from a family where you don't talk about your, you know, you don't talk about your achievements after it, or do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you don't go, I've had such a good race and I'm really happy. That was like a boasting.
The other thing about your media thing is you've got such a good sense of humour as well, and it comes across on your radio show that didn't come across on, you know, don't take offence when I say all these things, but none of that came across when you were on the pool deck.
No. I don't even know if I had it then. I did with my close friends, but yeah, I was serious. Yeah, I know, I walk into the radio every time I go in there and I go, what am I doing here? I am not a funny radio person, do you know what I mean? But I don't think of it like that. I think of it as going to catch up with my friends.
It's a good approach. Let's go back. Mackay, growing up in Mackay, it wasn't a bad place to be a sporty kid. A few good athletes coming from Mackay. How did you get into swimming?
Yeah, well, I actually moved to Brisbane when I was about one, but how did I get into it? Everyone does swimming in Queensland, pretty much. Yeah, and I had a teacher at my primary school, Mrs. Brett, who really encouraged me to do those, you know, regional zones, whatever. I played tennis. I did running as well. I used to like the 400 and 800. Swimming I liked because I could be really in control of the result, and I had a really good squad. I'm still friends with the people I swam with back then when I was nine. I just liked it.
What element of it? Was it the being, you know, swimmers talk about they love being in the pool because they're alone and it's just them in the water and you can feel everything and do all of that. Was that the thing that got you, or was it just you wanted to be successful at something and swimming was it?
A bit of both. I still love the solitary confinement of swimming. It takes a certain personality, I think, to be a swimmer. I liked being by myself. I wasn't very loud, but I wanted to stand out. So I think swimming was one way I could stand out without being, you know, boisterous. And it was fun. Like my coach, Mr. Wakeful, made it really fun.
I love how you swimmers call your coach Mr. Wakefield, Mr. Volkers. Or you mentioned Scott, so you called him Scott. Do you still like to swim?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I still swim probably 3 or 4 times a week. I love it. It's like meditation for me.
Do you have the stopwatch on?
I do, but I'm very slow. I've got over that, you know. I'm nowhere near what I used to be able to do. But I love, the solitary. I love how it makes me breathe. I can be anxious and breathe really shallow. So when I swim, I take big, deep breaths and I feel really good.
Tell me you don't do butterfly. No one gets in the pool and swims butterfly, do they? Everyone just does freestyle.
Pretty much. I can't really do a lot of butterfly, to be honest. I've got a sore shoulder now. So I don't really do it. I just freestyle backstroke.
Let's go to 98 Commonwealth Games. Kieran carried the flag. Six gold medals in one meet. 200 freestyle, 400 freestyle, 200 butterfly, 4x1, 4x2, and the medley. Did you, when you went into that games, did you think that was possible, or I'll just go in every event and win?
I did, I think, because Don Talbot was really encouraging me at the time, our head coach. And just before it started, I remember on pool deck in the warm-up, I started freaking out. And
before your first event?
Yeah.
And which then, was?
I think it was a 4 and a 3, I think.
Fair enough. I'd be freaking out too. Yeah. It's a long way.
it's a long way.
Outside your comfort zone too.
But it was all about, you know, the cliches, taking one race at a time, blah, blah, blah. And then the last event in that meet was the 200 butterfly, which I freaked out again. And that's when Scott Volkers, my coach, thought up the tactic of pulling these two curtains on either side of the lane rope just to concentrate on myself, which I ended up using in the next couple of years.
Because you went into that, you know, the whole stack of different pressure because you're the Olympic champion from Atlanta, yeah. You know, when you in 96, in a games where our swim team didn't have a great meet. You know, I can remember being on the pool deck there and everyone wanting to ask Don whether he was, going to resign because he hadn't won any gold medals, and then, you know, you and Kieran did. But did you feel that extra pressure of going into a Commonwealth Games as the Olympic champion?
Oh, I haven't thought about it for such a long time. I felt about it in I felt like that in Sydney as the reigning Olympic champion. In KL, I think I was feeling pretty good at that stage. I'm trying to think. I knew I was going to have a good meet. You know, when you just know it's going to be a good meet. It was really enjoyable for me. I had a little bit of fun there, sort of. I remember Rob Woodhouse, my manager, after I won one of my races, he said, I shouldn't really give this away, should I? He said, do something different, you know, swim down to the 25 metres and back. And I felt really naughty because I hate breaking rules. But I remember doing that. That was pretty outlandish for me, I thought. You know?
as outlandish as the chicken dance on the pool deck after you broke the world record?
Yeah, not quite as outlandish as that. But I felt like I was starting to show a little bit of my personality. But it was, yeah, I really enjoyed KL.
Where did that drive come from for you? Because you're so quiet and unassuming still to this day. But, you know, you stood up on that pool deck and on the blocks and just was a tiger.
I don't know. I really don't know, because I look at my kids now and they don't really have a similar drive to me. It was a bit out of control. I don't know. I just love competing and I just loved beating people.
A lot of the kids that are listening to this are, you know, prospective team members for the games, and getting a lot of feedback from all the people that we're talking to. Everyone's got a different story. You've been through the home games experience in Sydney, and they're about to have the same thing for the Commonwealth Games. What advice, what did you learn from that home games and the pressure and all of that and still being able to perform?
It was pretty suffocating. I suppose I always put it into perspective. It is just a sporting competition. You know, you're not sick or you're not going to die if you don't do well. So just put it in perspective and try and remember why you took up the sport in the first place. It's so suffocating. I'd probably say get off all social media, because I think that sort of times everything by 100, especially as a home games. But try and enjoy it. Everyone says that, but you know, it's hard to enjoy it when I find it hard to enjoy when you feel like you've got to win.
So at that home games, you know, you go in as a defending champion in the butterfly, which wasn't a great race for you. Then you come back in the freestyle. How did that play out? You know, during the actual moment where you're going into an event, this is the one that I want to win.
Yeah.
Which one was first?
200 free was first, yeah. And I qualified fastest. And I was really nervous. I rang my husband, Cliff, at lunchtime. The final was that night. And I was crying. And I said, I'm not going out to the final tonight. I don't want to. I just did not want to go to the pool.
Why?
I was just so nervous. And I knew I should win. I looked at the times and who I was racing. And I'm like, geez, if I don't win this race, there's something wrong with me, you know. So I just, do you ever get in, I used to get in these frenzies. Anyway, he said,
I was never good enough to have to worry about that, Susie, to be honest. But, you know, you get stressed and every athlete gets stressed. Yeah. And I'm fascinated about all of this, because all of the athletes that are listening to this will experience that doubt at some point. I can't do this.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I didn't understand, that because no one had ever explained to me that that would happen. It's like everyone keeps it silent, you know what I mean? Like I'd spoken to John Sieben and Duncan Armstrong, and they, who were great swimmers, who'd always been so cool and calm and didn't seem like they got nervous. And then when I was getting nervous, I'm like, hang on, why am I feeling like this? But then it's normal.
And you hadn't previously? So you've been to, you know, you've been to Olympics and, you know, three Commonwealth Games and yeah. All of these meets, and you get to the Sydney Olympics and you're feeling all this.
Yeah, I was always nervous, but I didn't think it would get worse as my career went on. But I think you just put more and more pressure on yourself, don't you, when you're expected to win. I got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, to the point that even now, if I have a nightmare, it's usually swimming related. I'm lining up for the 200 butterfly, I haven't done the training, my starting block falls over, something happens. So as soon as I finish that race, I'm like, I am never doing that again.
I think all athletes have that dream. I've left my spikes at home. I'm running in quicksand, all of those things. Yeah. It's bizarre. This is still about the only dream you have. So you don't win the 200 butterfly, but then, so how do you recover? How did you recover from that to come back to the and win?
Sorry. It was actually, the other way around. So,
okay. So
200 free, I was really nervous, rang my husband, not going out. He said, go to the pool, put on your togs, do your best, blah, blah, blah. You know, put it into perspective, basically. So I went out and won that night. I felt really good that night. So I hadn't been sleeping very well, which is... anyway, there's been a lot of media around that, which has been mixed... The story's been mixed up, but the point of my story was I wasn't sleeping and I was so tired by the sixth day that I think subsequently in the swimming teams, they looked at that a lot more about trying to... How are we going to get athletes to get sleep? But I felt really great that night. I actually had a good night's sleep. And the next day I had the 200 metres butterfly. I still felt good and confident. And Misty Hyman, the girl I raced, just did an unbelievable time. 3.5 seconds faster than her best time. I was a little bit slower than my best time. Not a lot comparing to other athletes. But, yeah, got silver.
It's happened sometimes. It's not bad, Olympic silver.
Yeah.
When you look back at your career in its entirety... What's the emotion? Do you think about it much? Only when idiots like me come and talk to you about it?
Pretty much only when people like you come and talk about it. Pride. I feel really happy that I achieved everything that I wanted to achieve. Sometimes I walk into the pool. I still go to the pool now. Was it the other day? I walked in one afternoon and I thought, I can't believe I'm walking in here and I've achieved everything I wanted to in swimming. You know what I mean? Like I go, wow.
That's good. What a great spot to be in.
Yeah, and I can come
Nothing left on the table.
No, and I can come in here and have a swim and knowing... Well, not, it sounds like myself, knowing that I've done everything in the sport.
What are your kids? Do they know, you know, my mum's famous?
I'm not so famous anymore compared to before they were born, but, they're what's the word? Oblivion?
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
Ambivalent?
I think they think, I actually boast to them a little bit and I think that doesn't work because, you know, that makes them think, what's wrong with her?
Do they get the medals out?
No. I try and get them into swimming.
There must be a big trophy cabinet at home. Where are they all?
Under the stairs, the ones that I've kept, in some suitcases. But, and I've got a couple that are out. Actually, the one of my favourite trophies is the Victorian Olympic Council. You know, they give the athlete of the year. That's my favourite trophy.
But you tore up some of them and you threw some of your medals away.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to get into that. Yeah, so most of them are gone.
Why?
Well, I actually thought I would just move on and not be... I wanted to move on and not be a swimmer anymore. But I've since come to grips. I am always going to be the swimmer, you know. So I've got to embrace that a bit more. But I'm like, okay.
You're so fascinating. I could talk about this forever. And I appreciate you talking so honestly and openly about it. Do you... So that was an issue when you first... Because swimmers, a lot of swimmers, more so than a lot of other athletes, have trouble when they stop.
Yeah.
And we've seen Hackie and et cetera and what's happened. And so your method of coping with that was to throw everything out. That's pretty extreme.
It is extreme, yeah. Not all of it, just the things that I didn't think I needed. Like,
well, Commonwealth records you threw out.
Yeah. I remember being...
The certificates, you ripped them up and threw them away.
Yeah, I remember being over the bin just tearing up the Commonwealth records. I don't know why. I just wanted to move forward, you know. I wanted, like, okay, that was my swimming career. Now I'm going to move forward.
You can just put it in a suitcase and put it under the stairs, you know.
I know, I was a bit psycho. And then I gave a lot of them to my mum and she took them to the local school for them to reuse. I don't know what they did.
And you threw medals out as well, like Pan Pac medals, gone.
Mm. Well, Pan Pacs, yeah. I kept Olympic, Worlds.
Commonwealths. Australian Championship.
No, I threw them all out.
Gone.
I don't know.
You are a psycho. That's hilarious.
What are you going to do with all that stuff? Anyway, it is hard, and it is hard to transition, I think, because from the age of nine, we're consumed by that sport, aren't we? Like, you know, 4 to 6 hours a day for your whole entire life. It's like all you know.
It's funny. I'm laughing at you, with you and at you. The Gold Coast Commonwealth Games. So you're in Brisbane, so it's Queensland Games, and it's not just the Gold Coast Games. I get the feeling it's going to just be an absolute sensation.
Mm.
Do you have that same feeling, you know, living up there and seeing the preparations and getting a real sense of what it's going to be like?
Definitely, yeah. Like, I feel like I've missed the last couple of Commonwealth Games. Like, I haven't noticed them, but I think, yeah, it's going to be massive. Everyone's talking about it. The Gold Coast is amazing. You know, where the swimming venue is amazing. I haven't actually got any tickets yet, so I'm hoping that... I didn't go in the ballot. I'm like, oh... Anyway... I'm hoping that somehow I can get tickets. I'm talking to the Commonwealth Games Association here. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I remember the 82 Commonwealth Games is what really kick-started my career in swimming. We lived just next door to QE2 Stadium. We didn't go to any of the Commonwealth Games, though. We went on holidays. But I remember watching it on TV and collecting, as I said, collecting all cutouts. I wish I kept them. I had a whole suitcase of 82 Commonwealth Games cutouts that I kept for school, but
there's some stories in there. Tracy Wickham and Lisa and etc.
Yeah.
They were the great team. We've always had great swim teams. We've got a good swim team now as well. Mm. Although their performances in Rio weren't probably indicative of how strong they are. Do you have much to do with the Campbells and MC Bomb and etc.?
Not a lot. I know them sort of to chat to. Kate, I know a little bit. Bronte, yeah, but no, I don't really have too much to do with them. They are. It's a great team. The competition's almost a bit harder now. Great Britain's going to be, or they divide them up, don't they? England are going to be good, and Canada's going to be really good in swimming. But hopefully they can do well. You know, the swimming team's been getting hammered, I feel like, in the media for the last few years, haven't they?
Like, it's always been like that, I think.
Oh, has it? Okay.
Well, it was like, you know, like I said, in Atlanta, the knives are out because we hadn't won any medals. And, yeah. You know, we've just come to expect that you get on the box and you win.
Yeah. I do feel like, you said it before, the journalists that were around when I was swimming were friendlier, though. Like, I read the articles they wrote about me, and they're nice articles. Like, with Jim Tucker and Nicole Jeffries. I don't know. I mean, Nicole still writes nice articles, but they're not as nice and just about sport anymore, are they? It's a bit more other stuff. So you delete that bit if you want.
We don't delete any of this.
Oh,
it's No. It's all just goes straight to. Your commentary. So do you enjoy that?
I did the few times I've done it. Yeah, I do. Although I never haven't been asked back, so other people mustn't have enjoyed it. But I enjoy looking up the statistics and, you know, working out all about the different athletes and different things. I like the team. I like the team aspect of it. I worked with Rebecca Wilson and Ray Hadley, the last ones, I think. But I love the team camaraderie of commentating, but I haven't done it since London.
Okay. Yeah. And so when they're on the blocks at the Commonwealth Games and they stand up there, are there flashbacks? Let's transport yourself to the April next year and you're at the pool, Southport, and they're about to go. Do you think, gee, that was me, or is it another time?
It was another time, I think. Sometimes I think, I don't know how I did that. I go, oh, and then, or I go, I'm glad it's them and not me type thing. But I don't get those pangs of I wish I was there or I wish I could experience that feeling again. I've sort of passed that. But I had that for a lot of years. You know, we go, oh, I just want to feel I just want to feel that massive high that you get when you win a race. But I'm sort of past that, yeah.
It's a good spot to be in. Yeah. Hey, Susie, thanks for your time. You're a legend of Australian sport, legend of the Commonwealth Games, and we really appreciate your time on Gold Coast Gold.
Thank you.
That's it for this edition of Gold Coast Gold. A reminder, you can subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an edition. You can join us at Commonwealth Games Australia on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram to keep up with all the news regarding the Australian team at the 2018 Gold Coast Commonwealth Games. Until next week, thanks for your company on Gold Coast Gold.